In her new book, The Man Who Would Stop at Nothing, Melissa Holbrook Pearson describes John Ryan as, quote, a metaphor about human transcendence made real and clothed in one hell of a suit. The explanation for the suit, which is somewhat space age, John Ryan is a long-distance motorcycle rider. Long distance, as in, oh, say, 1,000 miles a day for a couple of weeks. No stops except for gas, very fast food, and minimal hygiene. Melissa Holbrook Pearson joins me now from the State University of New York at New Paltz. Melissa, welcome to Only a Game.
Hi, thanks.
You begin The Man Who Would Stop at Nothing by introducing us to John Ryan, whose achievements as a long-distance motorcyclist seem superhuman, beyond the fact that he's done things like ride 5,645 miles in 86 and a half hours. What sets Mr. Ryan apart from everybody else who rides long distances on a motorcycle?
Well, like so many adventurers in our history, like Sir Edmund Hillary, he's a person who can't say no to a challenge. He doesn't want to say no. In fact, I think it's what defines him. I think he sets himself apart by sort of mischievously thumbing his nose at the rest of us who need things like sleep and, you know, we want to eat actual hot meals, you know, things like that.
He has no interest in these things.
Absolutely no interest. This is a man who, when he needs to, will tear open a packet of salmon with his teeth and eat it with his fingers.
Presumably while he's still moving.
He, in fact, does keep food in his tank bag, and he's got a straw so that he can hydrate while riding. He's got an enormous gas tank. It's ridiculous. People look at his motorcycle, and for a minute, you see it pass before their eyes. They can't quite grasp what they're seeing.
And the nutritional component of this is complicated by the fact that he's diabetic.
Indeed. I think that might be behind some of his drive. He, I think, may be outrunning the mortality that most of us see coming when you achieve middle age, as he has. So it's both something that propels him and something that could potentially cause him harm.
Melissa, I should mention that you're not writing about long-distance motorcycling from a long distance. You've ridden saddle sores and bun burners yourself, and before we go any further, perhaps you should explain what those terms mean.
Right. A saddle sore is 1,000 miles in 24 hours or less.
Mm-hmm.
A bun burner is 1,500 miles in 36 hours or less. A bun burner gold, which John Ryan has done 3 back-to-back, is 1,500 miles in under 24 hours.
And you did not take on saddle sores and bun burners just because you wanted to write about what it was like and about the people who did it a lot. Tell us a little bit about the history of your own passion for motorcycles.
I was a rider in the early 80s. And I was just a plain, normal, vanilla rider. But I stopped riding, like a lot of people do, when other things got in the way, such as family, work, you know, that whole growing up business. And I took a hiatus, and I thought that I had put motorcycles behind me. Well, you know, you really can't do that when they're in your blood. They'll come and find you. And 11 years later, something happened in my life that caused a bit of a stoppage. And for a moment there, I didn't know which way to turn. Enter John Ryan. This guy is so persistent, not only in his riding, but in his personality. And he believes that everybody should be on a motorcycle. It's the only way to go. In fact, this is a man who doesn't own a car. He doesn't have a house, a wife, a job. Anyway, he kept after me. He said, you need to be on a motorcycle. And finally, when I ran out of excuses, I said, yeah, I do. He's right. And I'm never going to look back.
You write about several rallies set up for long-distance motorcyclists who were directed to visit, albeit very briefly, various places. One of those rallies features the locations of America's most notorious crimes. Would you read the paragraph, please, on page 56 that sets the scene for that rally?
Monday morning dawns sunny and warm, ideal for the beginning of an epic both useless and so deeply meaningful it cracks the brain to fathom it, both bold and foolhardy. When these 100 riders, now milling around their motorcycles with anticipation's knuckles white around their guts, leave the parking lot of the Marriott, they will be going to more places than crime scenes spread across the United States of America, which may well be the crime capital of the world. They will be going to elemental places within themselves, elemental places on our anthropological timeline, too, it turns out.
Tell me about elemental places, both internal and external.
This rally, which comprises 11 days and approximately 11,000 miles, tests people in a way that normal life doesn't. There's, I think, a certain pleasure in the human being in meeting extreme challenges, and that's what these people do. Most of them feel that it changes their lives forever.
You talk about extreme challenges, and the book includes mention of lots of records set by long-distance motorcyclists. Which of those records seem most impressive to you?
Well, the ones where people just decide to take off from one coast, ride straight to the other coast, and then back again, basically without stopping. These are purposeless trips, except for maybe a paramount purpose which exists inside. The ride that John Ryan took that you spoke of at the beginning here, to me, is one of the most extraordinary things anybody's ever done.
Please describe that ride for me.
He rode from above the Arctic Circle, Prudhoe Bay, which was icy, wet, rainy. It took him a week just to get to the starting point because his bike would slide down the mountain and, you know, otherwise injure itself. And once he started, he didn't stop for 86 and a half hours, except for approximately 2 hours each day until he reached the farthest south point in the United States, Key West, Florida. He was determined to bury the record of the previous record holder, and he did so by over 9 hours.
At some point, it occurred to you that, and I'm quoting now, souls are the province of motorcycles alone among machines. How and when did you come to that conclusion?
I think anybody who spends enough time on the road with their motorcycle will feel that way, because you realize that there were chances for it to do things to you, both good and bad. And you communicate and you rely on it to a huge degree. You're not placing your life in the hands of your computer, but you are your motorcycle.
Melissa Holbrook Pearson is the author of The Man Who Would Stop at Nothing, Long Distance Motorcycling's Endless Road. The book is published by Norton, and the author joined me from the State University of New York at New Paltz. Melissa, thank you very much for speaking with me.
And thank you.
We'll get matching jackets and helmets too. We'll get respect from the towns we ride through. We'll sleep at the roadside in the soft green grass. And if the squares won't buy, we'll let them pass. You'll be the queen of my highway, my motorcycle mama. We'll see the world from my Harley.
Only a Game is produced by Karen Given and Doug Trabu. Our technical director is John Parati. Our intern is Jillian Guybe. We had help this week from Joe D'Agostino at SUNY New Paltz, and our senior producer is Gary Wallach. To view Karen Schaefer's rowing photo gallery or learn more about this week's music selections, please visit our website, onlyagame.org. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Only a Game Radio. Our final word comes from Melissa Holbrook Pearson, who reacts thusly when I tell her that I had given up motorcycling decades ago.
But maybe we can get you back someday.
Yeah, well, if that 1969 BSA Starfire 250 turns up, maybe. I'm Bill Littlefield. Thanks for listening. I'll see you next week.
Got something better to do. Stick around the house the rest of your life. You're 18. My wife, you be the queen of my highway, my motorcycle mama, and we'll see the world from my Harley. And we'll see the world from my Harley. And we'll see the world from my Harley if the chain don't break.
Support comes from the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, committed to building a more just, verdant, and peaceful world. More information at macfound.org. The Wallace Foundation, a source of ideas for expanding learning opportunities beyond the school day, at wallacefoundation.org. And American Jewish World Service, pursuing global justice through grassroots change, at ajws.org. This is NPR.